I'm excited to teach today, to preach, starting a new series today, and it's going to be fun. But let me welcome you again to a summer Sunday at church. I believe this is going to be a great summer. I just feel it down in my feeler and know that God is doing great, great things. It'll be great because we make it great, because we invest in it, because we make it happen. But calling this summer series Summer Staycation. Staycation. You know, these gas prices, they got us looking for stuff to do in the backyard. We trying to figure out if we can walk to our next event. Things are crazy. Honestly, I hope you can get away for a few days. I hope your week's vacation or whatever you already had planned this summer is uninterrupted, and that you are able to step back and rest, because everyone needs rest. Everyone needs a change of scenery. I am not going to be preaching here every single Sunday of the summer. Pastor Darrell has preached every Sunday this year except for two, and I'm ready for a little rest myself. So I appreciate vacation time. I appreciate rest seasons. But I'm also thankful for YouTube. I'm thankful for Church App that allows me to remain connected and to be faithful, and I know you are grateful for those things and are using those things. But today is Pentecost Sunday. We are 50 days past Easter. Pentecost means 50. It's been 50 days since Easter, and it is a landmark day for the church. Of course it is. So on this Sunday of staycation, I want to just talk to you about staying filled. Staying filled. How do I stay filled? In preparing for this message, I had to laugh at myself at how hard I will work to get something out of an empty container. Right now, this morning, right now, this very hour, there is a bottle of shampoo in my shower that has been empty for a month. This morning, showering, getting ready for church, I am pounding that empty bottle on the palm of my hand, because I've been believing this for a month now, that I'm going to get one more drop out of this empty bottle. PK has other bottles in there, plenty of other bottles in there. There's other stuff, but for some reason, I want to get the last drop out of this bottle, and then when it gets that empty, we'll just add water to it. Am I the only one? So that we can wash our hair with water, because no soap is left. Why do we do this? Why do I do this? I left the shower with the empty bottle of shampoo and went to the sink to shave, and I found myself pounding the shave container that contained the shave lotion. I'm pounding that on the counter because I need to get the last drop out of that. I have two brand new ones right there under the counter. They're ready to go. All I got to do is pop the top and start fresh. But I'm trying to get something out of an empty container. I've wasted at least, I don't know how long of my life, trying to get something from an empty container. Do I dare ask about the toothpaste, the lotion, or the hairspray? I have stood spraying my hair with air, just nothing but air coming out of this can. It's not doing me a bit of good, because I want to get the last drop from this container. I read recently someone posted that your gas in your vehicle, your gas gauge starts dropping faster once it gets below a half tank. So they were saying in this season of high gas prices, make sure to keep your car on full. Listen, I would be broke trying to keep it on full at all times. I don't think that's true. Everybody was commenting and liking and, oh, I'm going to try that. That's great. That's a good idea. I think it does go fast. No, that's a mental thing. Miles per gallon or miles per gallon, unless there's something I don't know, and I'm sure y'all will learn me after church if there's something that I need to know. But it's just amazing what we will do. We'll just go as far as we can to keep from refilling. I like what Paul says in Ephesians. He's in an advice-giving mood. He's in a coaching mood. He's giving good counsel. He's telling them, stay away from this and watch out for that. And don't get caught up in the things that everyone else is doing. And then he gets to the 18th verse, Ephesians 5 and 18, he says, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you have the option, and we all have the option, choose to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. I can think of so many areas of my life where that instead applies. If I would just do this instead, if I would instead be filled with the Holy Spirit, from the thought trains I get on to the feelings of just overwhelming, I don't know what to do about this circumstance, instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, we seek God because we need God. You say, Pastor, no, I found the Lord 37 years ago. Great, but have you found him today? It's one thing to have found him in the long ago. It's one thing to have memories of wonderful moves of God in your life or miracles, but what is happening in your life today? Is there something fresh? Because if you're breathing, then life is still happening, which means you need a fresh touch, because life uses us and life abuses of us. Life empties us, and before you know it, we're banging on the counter looking for just a drop. And the Lord sent me to tell you, stay filled. Stay filled. Don't try to exist on empty. Let me give you some more Bible. Zechariah 4 and 6. This is the word of the Lord. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Because so many of the things that I want in this life will not come from my own might or my own power. They're only going to come by his spirit. I don't know if we're all convinced of that yet, because we're still doing a lot of things in our own might. We're still doing many things in our own power, and we're not fully resting on or trusting in the Spirit of the Lord. But I want something to happen in me today. I want something to switch in me today. That sure, I'm going to use the strength I have, but it's being directed. It's being pushed. It's being informed by the Spirit of God. I'm only going to go where he tells me to go and do what he tells me to do and say what he tells me to say, because I'm not living from an empty place. I'm living from a filled place. 1 Corinthians 4 and 20 says, for the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk, it is living by God's power. It's not just a lot of talk, it's not just a lot of wind, it's not just many words, it is living by God's power. Please don't get me started on folk who walk or people who talk but do not walk or windy politicians or chatty celebrities. I don't want to hear any of that. His kingdom is living by the Spirit. Living by the Spirit. And it's for everyone. All of us are included. All of us can live by the Spirit of God. All of us can know and understand and walk in and be aware of and be filled with the Spirit of God. Look at Acts 19 with me, verses 1 through 6. You ought to make note of this so that you can study this in your devotion time this week. The Bible said while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples. I love that because he found believers. He found people who had said yes to Jesus. He found people who had committed their lives to Jesus. He found people who were serving his house, people who were giving, people who were completely dedicated, people who were bought in. There were some disciples, and he asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive? How did all of this happen? If you've never heard of the Holy Spirit, why are you living so faithful? Why are you living so committed? Why are you so all in with your devotion to Christ?" They said, we experienced John's baptism. Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He's not throwing shade. He's not suggesting that there was anything inferior about John's baptism. He said, but that was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. That is a powerful story. That's why I wanted you to take note of it so that you can go back and just read it slow and work through that and just sit with that for a little while, because we lead people in repentance every week here at the church. We're going to have a yes moment here before this service concludes. I'm going to invite you to make a commitment to become a disciple of Jesus, and we will do that every single week. But I want you to know that there is more for you. I want you to know that that is just one of the prayers you're going to pray, one of the steps that you are going to take, because I'm going to try to get you in the waters of baptism as well. I want to see you filled with the Holy Spirit also. It's not just this one and done, and then, you know, everything is good. No, I want you to experience everything, the fullness of God, everything that he has available for you to experience in your life, because there is more for every single one of us. We got to stay filled. We have to stay filled. Ephesians 4 and 30 in the Message is beautiful. Don't grieve God. Don't grieve God. Don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most important part of your life, making you fit for himself. Don't take such gift for granted. Don't grieve God. Don't take this for granted. Don't say, "Oh, that's just those emotional people. That's just those rambunctious folk. That's just those, we keep those Pentecost, we make them sit on the outsides of the building so they don't disturb anybody sleeping in the middle. Don't worry about them." No, I don't want to grieve God. I want to experience it. That doesn't mean I have to act like they act. That doesn't mean I have to worship like they worship. But I want to experience everything that God has for me. Is there anybody else that would say, hey, Lord, I want to have everything you want for me. I want to experience everything that you have for me to experience. So how do we stay filled? How do we stay filled? Let me give you about three keys that I think will help you today. If you want to write these down, take notes, because I believe they will bless your life. Number one, remove anything that is keeping you from receiving everything God has for you. Remove anything that is keeping me from receiving everything that God has for me. It could be sin. It could be selfishness. It could be shame. It could be anything. Anything can become a barrier in my life. Anything can become an obstacle in my life. Anything can become a challenge in my life that keeps me from receiving all that God has for me. And the extremists would say, no, I'm just going to keep living this crazy life. And if God gets ready to do something, he'll just do it. No, it doesn't work that way, because if you force God's hand like that, you're not going to like the consequence. Because when God gets your attention, it's like a whole nother level of attention getting. The Bible said, fall on the rock and, you know, be broken rather than the rock fall on you. It's a whole different deal. So remove anything that is keeping you from receiving everything that God has. Because you and I, we tend to avoid what we're afraid of. We tend to avoid what we do not understand. But can I give you some truth today? James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Every good gift, it comes from God. This is a good thing that God is doing in my life. It's not something I have to be afraid of. It's not something that has to make me nervous. If it does, we can certainly work through that. We can certainly figure all of that out. But every good gift, every perfect gift, it is from God. So that leads me to number two. Number two, if I want to stay filled, I need to ask God to give me all that he has for me. I need to ask God to give me all that he has for me. Because here's the facts. All that we have is not all that God has. Sit with that for just a moment. All that we have is not all that God has. Meaning everything that I possess, everything that I've experienced, everything that I've seen, everything that I've heard so far in my life, that's not everything God has available. So I got to stay hungry. I got to stay thirsty. I've got to stay curious. I got to stay, you know, when you first have kids, they're asking you questions about everything. And then they start reaching an age that you need to ask me about that. You ought to ask me what I know about that. They're not asking you. They're not nearly as curious. They think they know. Well, it's the same way in our spiritual life. We first come to the Lord. Man, we're just curious. We're looking at everything. We just want to see it all. We want to experience it all. And the longer we're in this, it almost seems as though we get to the place, well, I know. This is just, you know, it's just Sunday. It's just whatever. No. There needs to be something stirred up inside of us that no matter how long we've served the Lord, no matter how long we've walked with the Lord, no matter how long we've been faithful to God, that we are yet curious about what else he has for us. Listen, if you've served the Lord for 40 years and you've never walked in the the power of the Holy Spirit. Today is a beautiful day for you to say, Lord, what do you have for me? I want you to give me all that you have for me. I don't want to bang this container on the counter trying to get one more drop out of this empty situation. I don't want to see if I can go one more mile on this empty tank, or if I can live one more day hurting, broken, or undone. I want everything that you have for me. I want you to fill me up, God. I want you to fill me, and then I want to work every day of my life to stay filled. I want to stay filled. 1 Corinthians 2:9, this is what the scriptures mean when they say no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Everyone who thinks they've seen all that God has available. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined. The preacher preaching who's seen a lot, I've experienced a lot, but my ears have not heard, my eyes have not seen, my mind has not yet imagined all that God can do. Is this helping anybody today? I want to get hungry. I want to get thirsty. I want to get curious, spiritually curious again. Not for weird things, not for off things, not for strange things. But I want to get curious about powerful things and biblical things and spiritual things and all that God has for us. And then number three, become friends with the Holy Spirit. Become friends with the Holy Spirit. Wait a minute now, that sounds weird because he's way up there and I'm way down here. No, the Bible actually says that he's not far from any of us. I think we want to try to create these separations where, you know, it somehow helps us mentally. He's so far up there, he doesn't see what I'm doing, can't hear what I'm saying. No, he's right here. He's right here. Wherever you go to lunch today, he's going with you. So pick a good spot. Whatever you do today, he's doing it with you. Become friends with the Holy Spirit. It's true that we become friends with someone after you've vetted them to a degree. After you've decided that they're safe. You know, now we'll Google you. 2022. Not like it used to be. Now we'll check on you. We want to know who you are. I'm not talking about as a church. I just mean friends, you know. I rarely meet someone on a Sunday. They're like, oh, yeah, we know who you are. We watch. We've heard. We listen. Because people are vetting. They're trying to find out, is this where I want to go? Is this where I want to visit? Is this what I want to invest my life in? Is this what I want to be a part of? Is this what I want to do? And so when you become friends with someone, you've already decided that they're not weird and that you can be friends. You got to treat the Holy Spirit the same way. I want to become friends, and I've already decided he's not weird. He's unique. He's different. But I kind of want him to be different than everybody else in my life. Because he's helping lead and guide me into all truth. He's helping get me to heaven. So I want to become friends and have conversation Because conversation is easy with a friend. When you get the right friend, you can say a little or you can say a lot. Friends are willing to listen to one another. They hear one another. Can I tell you today that the Holy Spirit is ready to listen to you? Oh, if he ever gets my attention, he's gonna talk my ear off. There's so many things he needs to be telling me. No, he's not gonna do that. Not gonna overwhelm you. Not gonna give you a list of rules or changes you've got to make overnight. He's just gonna walk with you, talk with you, be the help that comes alongside of you. Man, I feel good in this room today because I feel like someone is gonna become friends with the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about crazy stuff. I told y'all about that lady one time who told me at a church, she said, Holy Spirit told her what to wear every day. I said, ma'am, I don't believe that. What do you mean you don't believe that? I said, you don't match. I used to be bold. I'm so meek now. You don't match. That's not my God. Don't be weird. The world's got plenty of weird. But man, I need a friendship with the Holy Spirit. I need a relationship with Jesus that makes the difference in my life. I need someone to tap me on the shoulder and say, hey, do you need to be saying all you're saying right now? Probably not. We still gonna be friends if I say it anyway. We are, but I'm probably gonna thump you on the head. Stay filled. Stay filled. Staying filled. That's one thing. Maybe you need to be filled. Maybe you've been walking with, but you're ready for this to live inside of you. This experience. Pastor, that's a gift for certain people. No. Peter made it all clear in Acts 2. Read just a little further. This is for you and your children and their children, even as many. Everybody is welcome to receive, to experience, to feel this. Would you stand with me across the room today? Stay filled. So you know what? I'm gonna pray through these three steps. You want to join me in this prayer? Maybe praying this for the first time. Maybe this prayer is a point of renewal in your life. Beautiful summer Sunday crowd. I love this today. So excited about what God's doing at the Church Covington. Amen. Father, I pray today for and over every person in this room. I pray for myself today. Number one, I remove anything that's keeping me from receiving everything you have for me. I repent of my sin. I repent of my jealousy. I repent of my envy. I repent of words that have gone too far, thoughts that are out of bounds. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to cleanse me. I ask you to wash my mind, my hands, my eyes, my speech. Forgive us today, Lord. And with a fresh white sheet, fresh page, because that's what happens when we ask forgiveness. It's forgotten. You turn it loose. You let go. As far as the east is from the west, we are forgiven. Need to make sure somebody understands that today. You are forgiven. And now that we are forgiven, Lord, I ask you to give to us, to me, to my friends that I'm praying for today, give us everything that you have for us. Every blessing, every miracle, every strength, every renewing, every gift, yes, even the gift of the Holy Spirit. We want your gift. We don't have to understand how it happens. We don't have to worry about the details. You just need our yes. You'll make sure we're comfortable with the rest. You'll make sure we're good with the rest. But today, Lord, we ask you to give us all that you have for us. And finally, Lord, I just want to ask if we can be friends. I don't want this to be a long distance thing. I don't want this to be an occasional thing. I don't want you to be the friend that we go weeks or months without speaking. And then I get in trouble or I get into a crisis and, let me see if I still have his number. Let me call him up. I want you to be there, warning me, counseling me, guiding me before I get into trouble. I want you to be speaking to me, talking to my heart, ordering my steps. Can we be friends? Not just on Sundays at 10 o'clock, it's so good. I love my church. I love what I feel. This time on Sundays, it's so invigorating and empowering and renewing and fulfilling. But then I go back home, or I go back to work, or I go back to the other 6 days that are not like this. No. I don't want to leave you here, Lord, on the seat that I usually sit in. I'm inviting you to go with me today. Come on. Friends go to lunch. Friends ride together. Let's be friends. Let's be in relationship. In Jesus' name. Come on, if you receive that long prayer, just say yes. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Do you have just a moment to worship today? I don't know what the team has prepared, but if you have just a moment, I know mentally right now you're checking out. All right, now I got to move to this and move to that, but it's actually early. We've got a couple of minutes if you want to just lock in and just worship for a moment. I want to make this altar available if there's anybody. I'd love to pray with you today. If you're saying, you know what, I would love to be filled with the Holy Spirit today, I would love to pray with you. I'd love to pray with you. I believe today can be the day that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's do this today. Let's do this. Thank you, Lord.
See you.